just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, a global outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose is to equip Christians in life and truth, encouraging you in your faith and equipping you intelligently to represent it to a world easily convinced by a corrosive culture intent on conquering your Christian faith. Equipped with truth in Christ, we're called to experience life to the full and witness to the world by His power working through us. This is a live program, and we invite your calls and questions. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will go to your calls later on in the broadcast. I do want to mention, however, that this weekend marked an extravaganza on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., and it is said to be the very date that pretended to be a date which coheres with the Jewish calendar. And the event was simply dubbed the Return. And as I watched it, I saw much to commend it. I saw images of people who were prostrated before God in prayer, people who were confessing their sins and the sins of our nation. And then there were frequent calls to repent, which is no doubt needed in our era of unfettered hedonism. But what is also needed, much needed, is discernment, particularly discernment on the part of those who are leading the Christian community. A significant number of them now hail Jonathan Cahn's Bible codes as important evidence for the inspiration of Scripture. And they're claiming that events like 9/11 are encoded in the biblical text. In truth, and truth is in short supply today, in truth, what should be self-evident is that Jonathan Cahn's arguments, they're little more than a fringe variety of Jewish mysticism that has been repackaged for Christian consumption. His techniques are a rigged game, a game complete with after-the-fact prophecies, complete with self-validating messages, and much, much more. While Cahn claims that such plagues as COVID-19 are encoded in the biblical text, nothing could be farther from the truth. Tragically, men like Jonathan Cahn shift the focus of biblical apologetics from the essential core of truth to wild and esoteric speculations. This is, it's Nostradamus all over again. Alleged special insights, unbridled speculation, suggestive flights of fancy, and the list goes on. Maybe one example could suffice for today's broadcast. Jonathan Cahn claims to have unraveled the mystery of 19, just as the invasion of Jerusalem in 605 BC was 19 years prior to its total destruction in 586. So, says Cahn, the invasion of New York on 9/11 portended the plague of COVID-19 19 years later. And it gets worse. According to Cahn, you can find the name of the American biopharmaceutical company that announced it had seen some positive results in the testing of an antiviral medication on the coronavirus. It's the balm of Gilead that Jeremiah spoke of 2,000 years ago. In Jeremiah chapter 8, the very company portended in the mystery of Scripture. For, says Kahn, the name of the company, you're probably guessing it right now, the name of the company is Gilead. And so America was placing its hope in a literal balm of Gilead. I'm not making this up. This is the kind of thing that Jonathan Kahn writes. And I think if he really believed he unraveled this mystery, he might have bought a lot of stock in that company. And, well, I won't finish my thought there. In truth, biblical prophecy is not, it's not designed to help us pin the tail on a modern pharmaceutical company. Rather, prophetic stars in the constellation of biblical prophecy are powerful proofs that God has spoken that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. I love to quote what God says. I told you these things long ago before they happened. I announced them to you so you couldn't say my metal idols did them, my wooden image and metal God ordained them, whereas Jesus said, I told you now before it happened so that when it does happen, you will believe. Counterfeit prophecy stars like Jonathan Kahn have one thing in common. They traffic in selling fear. They traffic in sensationalism, in sloppy journalism, in sophistry, in script torture, the torture of the precious words of Scripture. In a lumen contrast, genuine prophets, prophets like Jeremiah, prophets like Isaiah, they're infallibly poignant and profound. And unlike the pretenders, those who make merchandise out of God's people, their prophetic prowess is used by God for the edification of His church. What's so disturbing are the false promises, the false prophecies of these popularity seekers, men who sell fear. It's a financial bonanza for anyone who does it well. The real tragedy is not, it's not that men like Jonathan Kahn are using current events as the pretext for selling fear. They've been doing this for years. The real tragedy is that their messages and their manuscripts are now being promoted by mainstream ministers, ministries, companies, etc. And I said this before, and it bears repeating. Jonathan Kahn is a master at mining the subjunctive. He's a master at cultivating the seed of threat buried inside each unrealized instant. He's a master of sensationalism. He says things like, much that will be revealed in my book has never before been revealed in any other written form. He makes all kinds of sensationalistic claims. He says things like, there exists an ancient mystery that holds the secret of America's future. This mystery lies behind everything from 9/11 to the collapse of the global economy, from everything to COVID-19 to the massive urban unrest that we're experiencing in America today. And Kahn alone has the supernatural ability to unravel the pattern of the mysteries, which he does to great effect through a mastery of sloppy journalism. If investigative journalism were not a dinosaur today, sloppy journalism like his would not be allowed to run wild. He's employing what has been aptly described as an agenda of generous conceptual expansion to facilitate what appears to be uncanny matches. And according to Kahn, the harbingers that manifested in ancient Israel in the nation's last days are all happening again in America. And according to the precise pattern that they took place in ancient Israel. So if you read his books, the claim is you can figure out the pattern because America follows the pattern of ancient Israel. It's all a big con. It's time that the body of Christ moved away from sensationalism and selling and sophistry to reading the sacred text for all its substantial worth. Well, much more could be said about that and will be said about that on later editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and other venues. You can catch it all on the web at equip.org, and we'll be writing about this as well. When we come back from the break, a lot of you hanging on will go directly to your phone calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
Too often, we concentrate on the short time we have on Earth and ignore the reality that we're going to live forever. Clay Jones wrote the monumental book, Immortal, to ensure that you enjoy a life free from fear of death and focused on forever. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Is there life after death? For many people, the prospect of death is terrifying. They try to live as long as possible, hoping that science will find a way to extend their lives. Most of us are in denial about death. What if the solution is not denying death's reality, but recognizing it and relishing the reality that, as followers of Jesus Christ, we will live fantastically forever? In his book, Immortal, Clay Jones explores the ways people face death and highlights the truth that God offers a path to our deepest longing, glorious resurrection to eternal life. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right to our callers. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, Alex first in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Alex.
Hey, Hank, how you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Hey, okay, so my question today is about the gospel and whether there are two gospels indeed shown in Scripture, the gospel of the kingdom, and, you know, where that's basically a continuation from what John was preaching, and, you know, Jesus came and the synoptic gospels and taught them the gospel of the kingdom, and then how Paul depicts the gospel, where he says, my gospel of grace, alluding to, and, you know, Ephesians 3 and Romans 12. So I wanted to ask basically, you know, what do you think about there being two distinct differences in those gospels and how we today as believers should take the gospel of the kingdom when we apply it?
Well, you know, the problem, Alex, starts with a presupposition that God has two different people. And therefore, you have two different messages. And that's a flawed premise. God has only always had one people. In fact, when you think about people in general from a biblical perspective, there's only one race, and that is the human race. And therefore, if you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. And therefore, this idea that there are different gospels is simply a spurious paradigm that is imposed on the biblical text as opposed to reading the biblical text for what I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, for all its substantial worth. So no, there are not different gospels for different people. In fact, if you look at Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Mark in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, K-A-R-I. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, Hank, I think most Christians would agree that the Republican Party is certainly the lesser of two evils compared to the Democrat Party. But most of mainstream Christianity seems to take the position recently that it would be an absolute disaster if the Republicans don't win this election compared to the Democrats. What would you say?
Well, I think there are a lot of things that we have to take into consideration. Take it away from parties and just look at issues. And that's really what you want to vote on, based on the issues and who represents the issues that are so important for the furtherance of the gospel. You think of issues like religious liberty or abortion and euthanasia. You look at issues that have to do with social engineering. And I think when you take all of that into account, you walk into the voting booth and you make a reasoned decision. But as I've said many times on this broadcast and in other venues, the ballot box is necessary, but it is not sufficient. Our culture is being corroded by many other forces. So even within administrations that are relatively conservative, you have this great apostasy taking place within cultural norms. So the culture itself is being corroded by the educational institutions, by the educational institutions and many other institutions as well. So I think it's important for Christians to be a leavening force in the culture and not put all their hopes in government. Governments come and go, but we can change the culture by changing the hearts of people. Pagans are always going to exercise their job description. What else would they do? But Christians, oftentimes, they fail to exercise their job description. They're not a leavening force. In fact, many are swept up in the kind of sensationalism that I was talking about in the opening of the broadcast today. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Jason in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, listening on the web. Hi, Jason.
Hi. My question is, if the Bible is true, shouldn't we be more interested in overthrowing God rather than worshiping him, since he's incapable of handling out proportional justice?
Well, why do you think that? I mean, why do you think he's incapable of handing out proportional justice? Of course he does that. If you look at Scripture, it is abundantly clear that the hell of a Hitler far exceeds that of a garden variety pagan. God is just, and he will render just judgments to everyone. And so when we are on the great assize with people from every language and nation and people, we will see that his judgments are absolutely pure and correct. And by the way, he doesn't force anyone into his kingdom against their will. God never violates the will of people. So are judgments in eternity proportional? Of course they are. That's part and parcel. It's a basic of the Christian ethic.
Well, even if there are different layers in hell, like Hitler gets punished more than me, if it's eternal, that's not proportional.
Well, why not? Why would God rub out the crowning jewels of his creation if they decide to live apart from him? He doesn't do that in this life either. There are all kinds of people that want nothing to do with him, that blaspheme his name, and he allows them to prosper in cultures around the world. So God is giving people that opportunity to either love him or reject him in this life, and will give them the same opportunity in the life that is to come.
Now, what was that you said about rubbing out his crown jewels? I didn't follow that.
Well, what I'm saying is that God does not simply take people that are created in his image and, well, destined to be conformed to his likeness. He doesn't take those people and rub them out, kill them, let's say, or extinguish their existence if they choose to live apart from him. That is true both in this life and is true in the life that is to come. So if someone wants to live apart from him, God does not drag them into his loving presence. He allows them their settled choices. So,
well, that, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, without choice, love would be rendered meaningless. And I've said this many times. God is neither a cosmic rapist who forces his love on people, and he's not a cosmic puppeteer who forces people to love him. Instead, he's the personification of love, and as such, grants us freedom of choice. And by the way, that freedom provides a persuasive polemic for the existence of hell. Hell ultimately is God's great compliment. I think this was something that Chesterton said, that hell was God's great compliment to the reality of human freedom and the dignity of human choice. It gives people choice.
Well, Hank, the choice you're referring to is sort of like when a mobster walks into a store and he's got a protection racket and he says, "You don't have to pay me, but," and then he waves a club. The result is, you're not going to like it. So, you see what I'm saying?
No, I don't see what you're saying, because I'm saying exactly the opposite in terms of the Christian ethic. God is not a mobster who forces people and says, if you don't do what I want to do, in this protection racket, you're not going to like the consequences. No, he gives people precisely what they want. I remember talking to Christopher Hitchens before he died. Christopher Hitchens said emphatically that if anyone tells you that I had a deathbed experience, don't believe it. I want nothing to do with God. Well, God grants him that choice. And beyond all of that, he continues to sustain him in existence. So, yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, without eternal separation, the nature of heaven is polluted. Evil is contagious. It is quarantined. But again, it is God giving people over to their own settled choices, and not the mobster analogy that you just articulated. But I appreciate your call, Jason. Call me anytime. I'd love to continue the conversation, but time is not on my side. I've got 21 seconds to close the program. Thanks for calling in. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do want to thank all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference in the lives of people all around the globe. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. So long for now.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Immortal by Clay Jones is about the fear of death, about how humans outside of Christ, and all too often even those in Christ, feebly try to manage that fear, and about how you, dear Christian, can overcome the fear of death through developing a robust appreciation of the glory that awaits all of us who trust in the Lord Jesus. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters, and life matters more.
In recent years, fewer Americans pray, trust in God, believe in the Bible, or attend church. But paradoxically, Americans have become more likely to believe in an afterlife. One explanation is the rise in entitlement, expecting special privileges without effort. Tell a generation they are good, unrelated to their behavior or performance, and they will think they should be able to live forever, regardless of how they act or believe. Clay Jones wrote Immortal to explain the truth that we will live forever, but our destination is determined by our relationship with Christ and in Him how we live our lives. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.